Times are changing, O'Grade said. Change? What a disturbing word, he thought. I must have my own face dancer attendance. And my own tanks? Almost begging. My council and I will consider it. What is there to consider? Throwing her own words at her. You need only your own approval. I require approval of others. She gave him a grim smile. So you do get time to think. O'Dread nodded to Tamerlane, who summoned guards. Back to the no-ship? He spoke from the doorway, such a diminutive figure amidst burly guards. But tonight you ride all the way. He gave a last, lingering stare at the worm as she left. When Sightale and guards were gone, Shiana said, You were right not to press him. He was ready to panic. Belonda entered. Perhaps it would be best just to kill him. Bel, get the hollow and go through our meeting again, this time as a mentat. That stopped her. Tamerlane chuckled. You take too much joy in your sister's discomfiture, Tam, Shiana said. Tamerlane shrugged, but O'Dread was delighted. No more teasing of Bel? When you spoke of Chapter House becoming another Dune, that was when he began to panic, Belonda said, her voice mentat distant. O'Dread had seen the reaction, but had not yet made the association. This was a mentat's value. Patterns and systems. Building blocks. Bel sensed a pattern to Sightale's behaviour. I ask myself, is it the thing become real once more? Belonda said. O'Dread saw it at once. An odd thing about lost places. As long as Dune had been a known and living planet, there existed a historical firmness about its presence in the galactic register. You could point to a projection and say, that is Dune, once called Arrakis, and latterly Rakis. Dune, for its total desert character in Muad'Dib's day. Destroy the place, though, and a mythological patina inweighed against projected reality. In time, such places became totally mythic. Arthur and his round table. Camelot, where it only rains at night. Pretty good weather control for those days. But now a new Dune had appeared. Myth power, Tamerlane said. Ah, yes. Tam, close to her final departure from flesh, would be more sensitive to workings of myths. Mystery and secrecy, tools of the Missionaria, had been used also on Dune by Muad'Dib and the Tyrant. The seeds were planted, even with priests of the divided god gone to their own perdition, myths of Dune proliferated. Melange, Tamerlane said. The other sisters in the workroom knew immediately what she meant. New hope could be injected into the Bene Gesserit scattering. Belonda said, Why do they want us dead and not captives? That has always puzzled me. Honored Matres might not want any Bene Gesserit alive, only the spice knowledge, perhaps. But they destroyed Dune. They destroyed the Tleilaxu. It was a cautioning thought to take into any confrontation with the Spider Queen, should Dortugler succeed. No useful hostages? Belonda asked. O'Dread saw the looks on the faces of her sisters. They were following a single track, as though all of them thought with one mind. Object lessons by honored Matres, leaving few survivors, only made potential opposition more cautious. It invoked a rule of silence within which bitter memories became bitter myths. Honored Matres were like barbarians in any age, blood instead of hostages, strike with random viciousness.
Does right, Tamerlane said, we've been seeking allies too close to home.
Futars did not create themselves, Shiana said.
The ones who created them hope to control us, Belonda said.
There was the clear sound of prime projection in her voice.
That's the hesitation Dortugler heard in the handlers.
There it was, and they faced it with all of its perils. It came down to people, as it always did. People. Contemporaries. You learned valuable things from people living in your own time and from knowledge they carried out of their pasts. Other memory was not the only conveyance of history. O'Dread felt that she had come home after a long absence.
There was a familiarity about the way all four of them were thinking now. It was a familiarity that transcended place. The sisterhood itself was home. Not where they lodged in transient housing, but the association. Balonda voiced it for them.
I fear we have been working at cross purposes.
Fear does that, Shiana said.
Odraid dared not smile. It could be misinterpreted, and she did not want to explain.
Give us Mirbella as a sister and a restored Basha, then we might have our fighting chance.
Right there, with that good feeling in her, the message signal clicked. She glanced at the projection's surface, a pure reflex, and recognized crisis. Such a small thing, relatively, to precipitate crisis. Clearby mortally injured in a thopter crash. Mortal, unless... The unless was spelled out for her, and it added up to cyborg. Her companions saw the message in reverse, but you got good at reading mirrored information in here. They knew.
Where do we draw the line?
Belonda, with her antique spectacles, when she could have had artificial eyes or any of numerous other prosthetics, voted with her body.
This is what it means to be human. Try to hold on to youth and it mocks you while it sprints away. Melange is enough, and perhaps too much.
Odraid recognized what her own emotions were telling her, but what of Bene Gesserit necessity? Belle could lodge her individual vote and everyone recognized it, even respected it, but Mother Superior's vote carried the sisterhood with her.
First the axolotl tanks and now this.
Necessity said they could not afford to lose specialists of Clairby's caliber. They had few enough as it was. Spread thin did not describe it. Gaps were appearing. Cyborg Clairby, though, and that was the opening wedge. The souks were prepared. A precautionary arrangement, should it be required for someone irreplaceable,
such as Mother Superior?
Odraid knew she had approved that with her usual cautious reservations. Where were those reservations now? Cyborg was one of those potpourri words, too. Where did mechanical additions to human flesh become dominant? When was the cyborg no longer human? Temptations intensified. Just this one little adjustment. And so easy to adjust until the potpourri human became unquestioningly obedient.
But Clairby?
Conditions of extremis said, cyborg him. Was the sisterhood that desperate? She was forced to answer in the affirmative. There it was, then. Decision not entirely out of her hands, but the ready excuse at hand. Necessity dictates it. The Butlerian Jihad had left its indelible mark on humans, fought and won, for then. And here was another battle in that long-ago conflict. But now, survival of the sisterhood was in the balance. How many technical specialists remained on Chapter House? She knew the answer without looking. Not enough. Odraid leaned forward and keyed for transmit.
Cyborg him, she said.
Belonda grunted.
Approval or disapproval?
She would never say. This was Mother Superior's arena, and welcome to it.
Who won this battle?
Odraid wondered.
We walk a delicate line, perpetuating Atreides, Siona genes in our population, because that hides us from prescience. We carry the Kwisatz Haderach in that bag. Willfulness created, Muad'Dib. Prophets make predictions come true. Will we ever again dare ignore our Tao sense and cater to a culture that hates chance and begs for prophecy? Archival Summary, Adixto.
It was just after dawn when Odraid arrived at the Nose Ship, but Mirbella was up and working with a training mech when Mother Superior strode onto the practice floor. Odraid had walked the last click through ring orchards around the spacefield. Night's limited clouds had thinned at the approach of dawn, then dissipated to reveal a sky thick with stars. She recognized a delicate weather shift to wrench another crop from this region, but decreasing rainfall was barely enough to keep orchards and pastures alive. As she walked, Odraid was overcome by dreariness. Winter just past had been a hard-bought silence between storms. Life was holocaust. dusting of pollen by eager insects, fruiting and seeding that followed the flower. These orchards were a secret storm whose power lay hidden in torrential flows of life. But oh, the destruction! New life carried change. The changer was coming, always different. Sandworms would bring the desert purity of ancient dune. The desolation of that transforming power invaded her imagination. She could picture this landscape reduced to windswept dunes, habitat for Leto the Second's descendants. And the arts of Chapter House would undergo mutation, one civilization's myths replaced by another's. The aura of these thoughts went with O'Drade onto the practice floor and coloured her mood as she watched Mirbella complete a round of flashing exertion, then step back, panting. A thin scratch reddened the back of Mirbella's left hand where she had missed a move by the big mech. The automated trainer stood there in the centre of the room like a golden pillar, its weapons flicking in and out, probing mandibles of an angry insect. Mirbella wore tight green leotards, and her exposed skin glistened with perspiration. Even with the prominent mounding of her pregnancy, she appeared graceful. Her skin glowed with health. It came from within, O'Drade decided, partly the pregnancy, but something more fundamental as well. This had impressed itself on O'Drade at their first encounter, a thing Lucilla had remarked after capturing Mirbella and rescuing Idaho from Gamu. Health lived below the surface in her, there like a lens to focus attention on a deep freshet of vitality. We must have her. Mirbella saw the visitor, but refused to be interrupted. Not yet, Mother Superior. My baby is due soon, but this body's needs will continue. O'Drade saw then that the mech was simulating anger, a programmed response brought on by frustration of its circuitry, an extremely dangerous mode.
Good morning, Mother Superior.
Mirbella's voice came out modulated by her exertions as she dodged and twisted with that almost blinding speed she commanded. The mech slashed and probed for her, its sensors darting and whirring in attempts to follow her movements. O'Drade sniffed. To speak at such a time amplified the peril of the mech. Risk no distractions when you played this dangerous game.
Enough!
The mech's controls were in a large green wall panel to the right of the doorway. Mirbella's changes could be seen in the circuits. Dangling wires, beam fields with memory crystals dislocated. O'Drade reached up and stilled the mechanism. Mirbella turned to face her.
Why did you change the circuitry? O'Drade demanded. For the anger. Is that what honored matres do?
As the twig is bent? Mirbella massaged her wounded hand. But what if the twig knows how it is bent and approves?
O'Drade felt sudden excitement.
Approves? Why?
Because there's something grand about it.
You follow your adrenaline high?
You know it's not that.
Mirbella's breathing returned to normal. She stood glaring at O'Drade.
Then what is it?
It's being challenged to do more than you ever thought possible. You never suspected you could be this good, this expert and accomplished at anything.
O'Drade concealed elation.
Mens sana in corpore sano. We have her at last.
O'Drade said,
but what a price you pay.
Price?
Mirbella sounded astonished.
As long as I have the capacity, I'm delighted to pay.
Take what you want and pay for it.
It's your Bene Gesserit magic cornucopia. As I become increasingly accomplished, my ability to pay increases.
Beware, Mirbella. That cornucopia, as you call it, can become Pandora's box.
Mirbella knew the illusion. She stood quite still, her attention fixed on Mother Superior.
Oh,
the sound barely escaped.
Pandora's box releases powerful distractions that waste energies of your life. You speak glibly of being in the shoot and becoming a reverend mother, but you still don't know what that means, nor what we want from you.
Then it was never our sexual abilities you wanted.
O'Drade moved 8 paces forward, majestically deliberate. Once Mirbella got on that subject, there would be no stopping her short of the usual resolution, argument cut short by Mother Superior's peremptory command.
Shiana easily mastered your abilities, O'Drade said.
So you will use her on that child?
Odrade heard displeasure. It was a cultural residue. When did human sexuality begin? Shiana, waiting now in the no-ship guard chambers, had been forced to deal with it.
I hope you recognize the source of my reluctance and why I was so secretive, Mother Superior.
I recognize that a Fremen society filled your mind with inhibitions before we took you in hand.
That had cleared the air between them. But how was this exchange with Mabella to be redirected?
I must let it run while I seek a way out.
There would be repetition. Unresolved issues would emerge. The fact that almost every word Mabella uttered could be anticipated, that would be a trial.
Why do you evade this tested way of dominating others now that you say you need it with Teg?
Mabella asked.
Slaves, is that what you want?
Odrade countered. Eyes almost closed, Mabella considered this.
Did I consider the men our slaves?
Perhaps. I produced in them periods of wildly unthinking abandon, a giving up to heights of ecstasy they had never dreamed possible. I was trained to give them that and thereby make them subject to our control. Until Duncan did the same to me.
Odrade saw the hooding of Mabella's eyes and recognized there were things in this woman's psyche, twisted in a way difficult to uncover.
Wildness running where we have not followed.
It was as though Mabella's original clarity had been stained indelibly, and then that mark covered over, and even this cover masked. There was a harshness in her that distorted thoughts and actions, layer upon layer upon layer.
You're afraid of what I can do, Mabella said.
There's truth in what you say, Odrade agreed. Honesty and candor. Limited tools now to be used with care.
Duncan.
Mabella's voice came out flat with new Bene Gesserit abilities.
I fear what you share with him. You find it odd, Mother Superior, admitting fear?
I know about candor and honesty.
She made candor and honesty sound repellent.
Reverend mothers are taught never to abandon self. We are trained not to encumber ourselves that way with concerns of others.
Is that all of it?
It goes deeper and has other threads. Being Bene Gesserit marks you in its own ways.
I know what you're asking. Choose Duncan or the sisterhood. I know your tricks.
I think not.
There are things I won't do.
Each of us is constrained by a past. I make my choices, do what I must because my past is different from yours.
You'll continue to train me despite what I've just said?
Odrade heard this in the total receptivity these encounters with Mabella demanded, every sense alerted to things not spoken, messages that hovered on edges of words as though they were cilia wavering there, reaching for contact with a dangerous universe.
The Bene Gesserit must change its ways, and here is one who could guide us into change.
Melonda would be horrified at the prospect. Many sisters would reject it. But there it was. When Odrade remained silent, Mabella said,
Trained. Is that the proper word?
Conditioned. That's probably more familiar to you.
What you really want is to conjoin our experiences, make me sufficiently like you that we can create trust between us. That's what all education does.
Don't play erudite games with me, girl.
We would flow in the same stream, eh, Mabella?
Any third-stage acolyte would have become watchfully cautious hearing that tone from Mother Superior. Mabella appeared unmoved.
Except that I will not give him up.
That is for you to decide.
Did you let the Lady Jessica decide?
The way out of this cul-de-sac at last.
Duncan had prompted Mabella to study Jessica's life.
Hoping to thwart us.
Hollows of his performance had ignited severe analysis of records.
An interesting person, Odrade said. Love, after all of your teaching, your conditioning.
You did not think her behavior treasonous?
Never.
Delicately now. But look at consequences, Akwisatz Haderach, and that grandchild, the tyrant.
Argument dear to Belonda's heart.
Golden path, Mabella said, survival of humankind.
Famine times and the scattering.
Are you watching this bell? No matter, you will watch it.
Honored matres,
Mabella said.
All because of Jessica? Odraid asked.
But Jessica returned to the fold and lived out her years on Caladan.
Teacher of acolytes. Example to them as well. See what happens when you defy us?
Defy us, Mabella. Do it more adroitly than Jessica.
Sometimes you repel me, natural honesty forced her to add, but you know I want what you have.
What we have.
Odraid recalled her own first encounters with Bene Gesserit attractions. Everything of the body done with exquisite precision. Senses honed to detect smallest details, muscles trained to perform in marvellous exactitude. These abilities in an honoured matre could only add a new dimension amplified by bodily speed.
You're throwing it back on me, Mabella said, trying to force my choice when you already know it.
Odraid remained silent. This was a form of argument ancient Jesuits had almost perfected. Simmelflow superimposed disputational patterns. Let Mabella do her own convincing, supply only the most subtle of nudges, give her small excuses upon which to enlarge.
But hold fast, Mabella, to love for Duncan.
You're very clever at parading your sisterhood's advantages past me, Mabella said.
We are not a cafeteria line.
An insouciant grin flicked Mabella's mouth.
I'll take one of those, and one of these, and I think I'd like one of those creamy things over there.
Odraid enjoyed the metaphor, but omnipresent watchers had their own appetites.
A diet that might kill you.
But I see your offerings displayed so attractively.
Voice! What a marvellous thing you've cooked up there. I have this wonderful instrument in my throat, and you can teach me to play it in that ultimate way. Now you're a concert master.
I want your ability to influence those around me.
To what end, Mabella? For what goals?
If I eat what you eat, will I grow into your kind of toughness? Plasteel on the outside and even harder inside?
Is that how you see me?
The chef at my banquet, and I must eat whatever you bring, for my good and for yours.
She sounded almost manic. An odd person. Sometimes she appeared to be the most wretched of women, pacing her quarters like a caged beast. That mad look in her eyes, orange flecks in the corneas, as there were now.
Do you still refuse to work on Cytale?
Let Shiana do it.
Will you coach her?
And she will use my coaching on the child.
They stared at each other, realizing they shared a similar thought.
This is not confrontation, because each of us wants the other. I am committed to you for what you can give me,
Mabella said, her voice low.
But you want to know if I may ever act against that commitment. Could you? No more than you could, if circumstances demanded it. Do you think you will ever regret your decision?
Of course I will.
What kind of damn fool question was that? People always had regrets. Mabella said this.
Just confirming your self-honesty. We like it that you don't fly under false colours.
You get false ones?
Indeed.
You must have ways of weeding them out.
The agony does that for us.
Falsehoods don't come through the spice.
Odraid sensed Mabella's drumbeat flickering faster.
And you're not going to demand I give up Duncan?
Very spiny.
That attachment presents difficulties, but they are your difficulties. Another way of asking me to give him up?
Accept the possibility, that is all.
I can't.
You won't.
I mean what I say. I'm incapable.
And if someone showed you how?
Mabella stared into Odraid's eyes for a long beat, then,
I almost said that would set me free, but,
yes,
I could not be free while he was bound to me.
Is that renunciation of honored matre ways?
Renunciation? Wrong word. I've merely grown beyond my former sisters.
Former sisters?
Still my sisters, but they're sisters of childhood. Some I remember fondly, some I dislike intensely. Playmates in a game that no longer interests me.
That decision satisfies you?
Are you satisfied, Mother Superior?
Odraid clapped her hands with unrestrained elation. How swiftly Mabella acquired Bene Gesserit riposte.
Satisfied? What a hellishly deadly word.
As Odraid spoke, Mabella felt herself move as in a dream to the edge of an abyss, unable to awaken and prevent the plunge. Her stomach ached with secret emptiness, and Odraid's next words came from echoing distance.
The Bene Gesserit is all to a reverend mother. You will never be able to forget that.
As quickly as it had come, the dream sensation passed. Mother Superior's next words were cold and immediate.
Prepare for more advanced training. Until you meet the agony, live or die.
Odraid lifted her gaze to the ceiling commies.
Send Shiana in here. She begins at once with her new teacher. So you're going to do it? You're going to work on that child?
Think of him as Basha Teg, Odraid said. That helps.
And we're not giving you time to reconsider. I didn't resist Duncan, and I can't argue with you. Don't even argue with yourself, Mabella. Pointless. Teg was my father, and still I must do this.
Until that moment, Mabella had not realized the force behind Odraid's earlier statement.
The Bene Gesserit is all to a reverend mother. Great door, protect me. Will I be like that?
We witness a passing phase of eternity. Important things happen, but some people never notice. Accidents intervene. You are not present at episodes. You depend on reports, and people shudder their minds. What good are reports? History in a news account, pre-selected at an editorial conference, digested and excreted by prejudice. Accounts you need seldom come from those who make history. Diaries, memoirs, and autobiographies are subjective forms of special pleading. Archives are crammed with such suspect stuff. Darwi Odraid.
Skytail noticed the excitement of guards and others when he reached the barrier at the end of his corridor. Rapid movement of people, especially this early in the day, had attracted him first and sent him to the barrier. There went that Sook doctor, Jalanto. He recognized her from the time Odraid had sent her. Because you are looking ill. Another reverend mother to spy on me. Ah, Mobella's baby. That was why this rushing around and the Sook. But who were all those others? Bene Gesserit robes in an abundance he had never before seen here. Not just acolytes. Reverend mothers outnumbered the others he saw rushing about down there. They reminded him of great carrion birds. There went an acolyte at last, carrying a child on her shoulders. Very mysterious. If only I had a link to ship systems. He leaned against a wall and waited, but the people vanished into various hatches and doorways. Some destinations he could place with fair certainty. Others remained a mystery. By the Holy Prophet, there went Mother Superior herself. She went through a wider doorway where most of the others had gone. Useless to ask Odraid when he next saw her. She had him in her trap now. The Prophet is here and in Poendar hands. When no more people appeared in the corridor, Skytail returned to his quarters. The identification monitor at his doorway flickered at his passage, but he forced himself not to look at it. ID is the key. With his knowledge, this flaw in the Ixion ship's control system beckoned like a siren. When I move, they will not give me much time. It would be an act of desperation with ship and contents hostage. Seconds in which to succeed. Who knew what false panels might have been built? What secret hatches where those awful women could leap out at him? He dared not gamble before exhausting all other avenues, especially now, with the Prophet restored. Tricky witches. What else did they change in this ship? A disquieting thought. Does my knowledge still apply? The presence of Skytail beyond the barrier had not escaped Odraid's notice, but she had other matters to concern her. Mobella's accouchement, she liked the ancient term, had come at an opportune moment. Odraid wanted a distracted Idaho with her for Shiana's attempt at restoring the Basha's memories. Idaho was often distracted by thoughts of Mobella, and Mobella obviously could not be with him here. Not just now. Odraid maintained prudent watchfulness in his presence. He was, after all, a Mentat. She had found him at his console again. As she emerged from the drop chute into the access corridor to his quarters, she heard the clicking of relays and that characteristic buzzing of the comm field and knew immediately where to find him. He revealed an odd mood when she took him into the observation room where they would monitor Shianna and the child. Worry about Mobella? Or about what they would presently see? The observation room was long and narrow. Three rows of chairs faced the seawall, common with the secret room where the experiment would occur. The observation area had been left in grey gloom, with only two tiny glow globes at upper corners between the chairs. Two Sooks were present, although O'Drade worried that they might be ineffective. Jalanto, the Sook Idaho considered their best, was with Mobella. Demonstrate our concern. It's real enough. Sling chairs had been set up along the seawall. An emergency access hatch into the other room was near at hand. Streggy brought the child down the outer passage where he would not see the watchers and took him into the room. It had been prepared under Mobella's directions. A bedroom, some of his own things brought from his quarters, and some things from the rooms shared by Idaho and Mobella. An animal's cave, O'Drade thought. There was a shabbiness about the place that came from the deliberate disarray often found in Idaho's chambers. Discarded clothing on a sling chair, sandals in a corner. The sleeping mat was one Idaho and Mobella had used. Inspecting it earlier, O'Drade had noted that smell akin to saliva, an intimate sexual odour. That, too, would work unconsciously on Teg.
Here is where the wild things originate, the things we cannot suppress. What daring to think we can control this, but we must.
As Streggy undressed the boy and left him naked on the mat, O'Drade found her pulse quickening. She shifted her chair forward, noticing her Bene Gesserit companions imitate the same hitching motion.
Dear me, she thought, are we nothing but voyeurs?
Such thoughts were necessary at this moment, but she felt them demean her. She lost something in that intrusion, extremely non-Bene Gesserit thinking, but very human. Duncan had lapsed into a studied air of indifference, an easily recognized pretense. Too much subjectivity in his thoughts for him to function well as a Mentat. And that was precisely how she wanted him now. Participation mystique. Orgasm as energizer. Bell had recognized it correctly. To one of three nearby proctors, all chosen for strength and here ostensibly as observers, O'Drade said,
"The Gola wants his original memories restored and fears that utterly. That's the major barrier to be sundered."
"Bull crap," Idaho said. "You know what we have working for us right now. His mother was one of you, and she gave him the deep training. How likely is it she failed to protect him against your imprinters?" O'Drade turned sharply toward him.
"Mentat?" "No. He was back in his immediate past, reliving and making comparisons. That reference to imprinters, though, was that how the first sexual collision with Mobella restored memories of other Gola lifetimes? Deep resistance against imprinting?"
The proctor O'Drade had addressed chose to ignore this impertinent interruption. She had read the archives material when Belonda briefed her. All three of them knew they might be called on to kill the Gola child. Did he have powers dangerous to them? The Watchers would not know until, or unless, Shianna succeeded. To Idaho, O'Drade said,
"Streggy told him why he is here."
"What did she tell him?" Very peremptory with Mother Superior. The proctors glared at him. O'Drade held her voice to deliberate mildness.
"Streggy told him Shianna would restore his memories."
"What did he say?"
"Why isn't Duncan Idaho doing it?"
She answered him honestly, getting some of his own back.
"Honestly, but revealing nothing. Streggy told him Shianna had a better way, and that you approved."
"Look at him. He isn't even moving. You haven't drugged him, have you?" Idaho glared back at the proctors.
"We wouldn't dare, but he is focused inward. You do recall the necessity for that, don't you?"
Idaho sank back into his chair, shoulders slumping. "Mobella keeps saying, he's just a child, he's just a child. You know, we had a fight over it."
"I thought your argument pertinent. The Basher was not a child. It's the Basher we're awakening."
He raised cross fingers. "I hope." She drew back, looking at the crossed fingers.
I didn't know you were superstitious, Duncan. I'd pray to Durr if I thought it would help.
He remembers his own reawakening pains. Don't reveal compassion, he muttered. Turn it back on him. Keep him focused inwards. You want his anger. Those were words from his own practique. Abruptly, he said, This may be the stupidest thing I've ever suggested. I should go and be with Mirbella.
You're in good company, Duncan, and there's nothing you can do for Mirbella right now. Look, as Teg leaped off the mat and stared up at the ceiling comm eyes. Isn't someone coming to help me?
Teg demanded, more desperation in his voice than predicted for this stage.
Where's Duncan Idaho?
O'Drade put a hand on Idaho's arm as he hitched forward.
Stay where you are, Duncan. You can't help him either, not yet. Isn't someone going to tell me what to do? The young voice had a lonely, piping sound. What are you going to do?
Shiana's cue, and she entered the room through a hidden hatch behind Teg.
Here I am.
She wore only a gossamer robe of pale blue, almost transparent. It clung to her as she strode around to face the boy. He gawked. This was a reverend mother? He had never seen one robed that way.
You're going to give me back my memories?
Doubt and desperation.
I will help you give them back to yourself.
As she spoke, she slipped out of the robe and tossed it aside. It floated to the floor like a great blue butterfly. Teg stared at her.
What are you doing? What do you think I'm doing?
She sat down beside him and put a hand on his penis. His head tipped forward as though pushed from behind, and he stared at her hand as an erection formed in it.
Why are you doing that?
Don't you know?
No!
The Basher would know. He looked up at her face so close to his.
You know! Why won't you tell me?
I'm not your memory.
Why are you humming like that?
She put her lips against his neck. The humming was clear to the watchers. Mirbella called it an intensifier, feedback keyed to the sexual response. It grew louder.
What are you doing?
Almost a shriek as she sat him astraddle of her. She swayed, massaging the small of his back.
Answer me, damn you!
A definite shriek.
Where did that damn you come from?
O'Drade wondered. Shiana slipped him into her.
Here's your answer.
His mouth formed a soundless,
oh.
The watchers saw her concentration on Teg's eyes, but Shiana watched him with other senses as well.
Feel the tensing of his thighs, the telltale vagus pulse, and especially note the darkening of his nipples. When you have him at that point, sustain it until his pupils dilate. Imprinter!
Teg's scream made the watchers jump. He beat his fists against Shiana's shoulders. All of them at the seawall observed an inner flickering of his eyes as he twisted back and forth, something new peering out of him. O'Drade was on her feet.
Has something gone wrong?
Idaho remained in his chair. What I predicted. Shiana thrust Teg away to escape his clawing fingers. He sprawled to the floor and whirled with a speed that shocked the watchers. Shiana and Teg confronted each other for several long heartbeats. Slowly, he straightened, and only then did he look down at himself. Presently, he lifted his attention to his left arm held in front of him. His gaze went to the ceiling, to each wall in turn. Again, he looked at his body.
What in the nether hell?
Still childish piping, but oddly matured.
Welcome, Gola Bashar,
Shiana said.
You were trying to imprint me.
Angry accusation.
You think my mother didn't teach me how to prevent that?
A distant expression came over his face.
Gola.
Some prefer to think of you as a clone.
Hua. Shiana.
He whirled, looking all around the room. It had been selected for its concealed access, no visible hatches.
Where are we?
In the no-ship you took to Dune just before you were killed there.
Still according to the rules.
Killed.
Again, he looked at his hands. Watchers could almost see Gola-imposed filters drop from his memories.
I was killed. On Dune, almost plaintive. "Heroic to the end," Shiana said.
The men I took from Gamu, were they?
Honored Mattress made an example of Dune. It's a lifeless ball, charred to cinders.
Anger touched his features. He sat and crossed his legs, placing a clenched fist on each knee.
Yes, I learned that in the history of the... of me.
Again he glanced at Shiana. She remained seated on the mat, quite still. This was such a plunge into memories as only one who had been through the agony could appreciate. Utter stillness was required now. O'Drade whispered,
"Don't interfere, Shiana. Let it happen. Let him work it out."
She made a hand signal to the three proctors. They went to the access hatch, watching her instead of the secret room.
"I find it odd to consider myself a subject of history," Teg said. The child's voice put that recurring sense of maturity in it. He closed his eyes and breathed deeply.
In the observation room, O'Drade sank back into a chair and asked,
"What did you see, Duncan?"
When Shiana pushed him away from her, he turned with a swiftness I have never seen except in Morbella.
"Faster even than that."
"Perhaps. It's because his body is young, and we have given him Prana Bindu training."
"Something else. You alerted us, Duncan. An unknown in Atreides' marker cells."
She glanced at the watchful proctors and shook her head.
"No, not yet. Damn that mother of his! Hypno-induction to block an imprinter, and she hid it from us."
"But look what she gave us," Idaho said. "A more effective way to restore memories."
"We should have seen that on our own."
O'Drade felt anger at herself.
"Skytail claims Tliloxu used pain in confrontation. I wonder."
"Ask him."
"It's not that simple. Our truthsayers are not certain of him."
"He's opaque."
"When have you studied him?"
"Dah. I have access to Komai records."
"I know, but..."
"Damn it. Will you keep your eyes on Teg? Look at him. What's happening?" O'Drade snapped her attention to the seated child. Teg looked at the Komais, an expression of terrible intensity on his face. It had been for him like awakening from sleep in the stress of conflict, an aide's hand shaking him. Something needed his attention. He recalled sitting in the no-ship's command center, Dar standing behind him with a hand on his neck.
Scratching him?
Something urgent to do.
What?
His body felt wrong. Gamu, and now they were on Dune, and he remembered different things. Childhood on Chapter House. Dar as... More memories meshed. They tried to imprint me. Awareness flowed around this thought like a river spreading itself for a rock.
Dar, are you there?
You're there! O'Drade sat back and put a hand to her chin. What now?
Mother!
What an accusatory tone. O'Drade touched a transplate behind her chair.
Hello, Miles. Shall we go for a walk in the orchards?
No more games, Dar. I know why you need me. I warn you, though, violence projects the wrong kinds of people into power, as if you didn't know.
Still loyal to the Sisterhood, Miles, in spite of what we just tried.
He glanced at the watchful Shiana. Still your obedient dog. O'Drade shot an accusatory look at the smiling Idaho.
You and your damned stories. All right, Miles, no more games, but I have to know about Gamu. They say you moved faster than the eye could follow.
True. Flat, what the hell tone.
And just now, this body's too small to carry the load. But you...
I used it up in just one burst, and I'm starving. O'Drade glanced at Idaho. He nodded. Truth. She motioned the proctors back from the hatch. They hesitated before obeying. What had Bell told them? Teg was not through. Do I have it right, daughter? Since every individual is accountable ultimately to the self, formation of that self demands the utmost care and attention.
That damned mother of his taught him everything. I apologize, Miles. We did not know how your mother prepared you.
Whose idea was it? He looked at Shiana as he spoke. My idea, Miles, Idaho said.
Oh, you're there too?
More memory trickled back.
And I recall the pain you caused me when you restored my memories, Idaho said. That sobered him. Point taken, Duncan. No apology needed. He looked at the speakers relaying their voices. How's the air at the top, Dar? Rarified enough for you? Damn silly idea, she thought. And he knows it. Not rarefied at all. The air was thick with the breathing of those around her, including ones wanting to share her dramatic presence. Ones with ideas. Sometimes the idea they would be better at her job. Ones with offering hands and demanding hands. Rarified indeed. She sensed that Teg was trying to tell her something. What? Sometimes I must be the autocrat. She heard herself saying this to him during one of their orchard walks, explaining autocrat to him and adding, I have the power and must use it. That drags on me terribly. You have the power, so use it. That was what this Mentat Bashar was telling her. Kill me or release me, Dar. Still, she stalled for time and knew he would sense it. Miles, Bosmali's dead, but he kept a reserve force here he trained for himself. The best of... Don't bother me with petty details! What a voice of command. Thin and reedy, but all other essentials there. Without being told, the proctors returned to the hatch. O'Dread waved them away with an angry gesture. Only then did she realize that she had reached a decision. Give him back his clothes and bring him out, she said. Get Streggy in here. Teg's first words on emerging alarmed O'Dread and made her wonder if she had made a mistake. What if I will not do battle the way you want? But you said I've said many things in my lives. Battle doesn't reinforce moral sense, Dar. She and Taraza had heard the Basha on that subject more than once. Warfare leaves a residue of eat, drink, and be merry that often leads inexorably to moral breakdown. Correct, but she did not know what he had in mind with his reminder. For every veteran who returns with a new sense of destiny, I survived, that must be God's purpose, more come home with barely submerged bitterness, ready to take the easy way because they saw so much of it in the stresses of war. They were Teg's words, but her belief. Streggy hurried into the room, but before she could speak, O'Dread motioned her to stand aside and wait silently. For once, the acolyte had the courage to disobey Mother Superior. Duncan should know he has another daughter. Mother and child live and are healthy. She looked at Teg. Hello, Miles. Only then did Streggy remove herself to the rear wall and stand quietly. She is better than I hoped, O'Dread thought. Idaho relaxed into his chair, feeling now the tensions of worry that had interfered with his appreciation of what he had observed here. Teg nodded to Streggy, but spoke to O'Dread. Any more words to whisper in God's ear? It was essential to control their attention and count on O'Dread recognizing it. If not, I'm really famished. O'Dread raised a finger to signal Streggy and heard the acolyte leave. She sensed where Teg was directing her attention, and sure enough, he said, Perhaps you've really created a scar this time. A barb directed at the sisterhood's boast that we don't let scars accumulate on our pasts. Scars often conceal more than they reveal. Some scars reveal more than they conceal, he said. He looked at Idaho. Right, Duncan? One Mentat to another. I believe I've come in on an old argument, Idaho said. Teg looked at O'Dread. See, daughter? A Mentat knows old argument when he hears it. You pride yourselves on knowing what's required of you at every turn, but the monster at this turning is one of your own making. Mother Superior. That was a proctor who did not want her addressed thus. O'Dread ignored her. She felt chagrin, harsh and compelling. Taraza within remembered the dispute. We are shaped by Bene Gesserit associations. In peculiar ways they blunt us. Oh, we cut swift and deep when we must, but that's another kind of blunting. I'll not take part in blunting you, Teg said. So he remembered. Streggy returned with a bowl of stew, brown broth with meat floating in it. Teg sat on the floor and spooned it into his mouth with urgent motions. O'Dread remained silent, her thoughts moving where Teg had sent them. There was a hard shell Reverend Mothers put around themselves, against which all things from the outside, including emotions, played like projections. Mobella was right, and the sisterhood had to relearn emotions.
If they were only observers, they were doomed.
She addressed Teg. You won't be asked to blunt us.
Both Teg and Idaho heard something else in her voice. Teg put aside his empty bowl, but Idaho was first to speak. Cultivated, he said. Teg agreed. Sisters were seldom impulsive. You got ordered reactions from them, even in times of peril. They went beyond what most people thought of as cultivated. They were driven not so much by dreams of power as by their own long view, a thing compounded by immediacy and almost unlimited memory. So Adraid was following a carefully thought-out plan. Teg glanced at the watchful proctors.
You were prepared to kill me, he said.
No one answered. There was no need. They all recognized Mentat projection. Teg turned and looked back into the room where he had regained his memories. Shiana was gone. More memories whispered at the edge of awareness. They would speak in their own time. This diminutive body, that was difficult. And Streggy. He focused on Odraid.
You were more clever than you thought, but my mother... I don't think she anticipated this, Odraid said.
No, she was not that much Atreides. An electrifying word in these circumstances. It charged a special silence in the room. The proctors moved closer. That mother of his. Teg ignored the hovering proctors.
In answer to the questions you have not asked, I cannot explain what happened to me on Gamu. My physical and mental speed defies explanation. Given the size and energy, in one of your heartbeats I could be clear of this room and well on my way out of the ship.
Oh, hand upraised. I'm still your obedient dog. I'll do what you require, but perhaps not in the way you imagine. Odraid saw consternation in the faces of her sisters.
What have I loosed upon us? We can prevent any living thing from leaving this ship, she said. You may be fast, but I doubt you are faster than the fire that would engulf you should you try to leave without our permission.
I will leave in my own good time, and with your permission. How many of Burzmali's special troops do you have?
Almost 2 million, startled out of her.
So many.
He had more than twice that number with him at Lampadas when Honored Mattress obliterated them.
We shall have to be more clever than poor Burzmali. Would you leave me to discuss this with Duncan? That is why you keep us around, isn't it? Our specialty.
He aimed a smiling look at the overhead comm eyes. I'm sure you'll review our discussion thoroughly before approving.
Odraid and her sisters exchanged glances. They shared an unspoken question. What else can we do? As she stood, Odraid looked at Idaho.
Here's a real job for a truthsayer, Mentat.
When the women were gone, Teg pulled himself up onto one of the chairs and looked into the empty room visible beyond the seawall. It had been close there, and he still felt his heart pumping hard from the effort.
Quite a show, he said.
I've seen better. Extremely dry.
What I like right now is a large glass of marinette, but I doubt this body could take it.
Belle will be waiting for Dar when she gets back to Central, Idaho said.
To the nethermost hell with Belle. We have to defuse those honored mattress before they find us.
And our Basha has just the plan.
Damn that title.
Idaho inhaled a sharp breath restricted by shock.
Tell you something, Duncan. Intense. Once when I was arriving for an important meeting with potential enemies, I heard an aide announce me. The Basha is here. I damned near stumbled, caught by the abstraction.
Mentat blur.
Of course it was. But I knew the title removed me from something I did not dare lose. Basha? I was more than that. I was Miles Teg, the name given me by my parents.
You were on the name chain?
Certainly, and I realized my name stood at a distance from something more primal. Miles Teg? No, I was more basic than that. I could hear my mother saying, oh, what a beautiful baby. So there I was with another name, Beautiful Baby.
Did you go deeper?
Idaho found himself fascinated.
I was caught. Name leads to name, leads to names, leads to nameless. When I walked into that important room, I was nameless. Did you ever risk that?
Once, a reluctant admission.
We all do it at least once. But there I was. I'd been briefed. I had a reference for everyone at the table. Face, name, title, plus all of the backgrounding.
But you weren't really there.
Oh, I could see the expectant faces measuring me, wondering, worrying. But they did not know me.
That gave you a feeling of great power?
Exactly, as we were warned in Mentat school. I asked myself, is this mind at its beginning? Don't laugh. It's a tantalizing question.
So you went deeper?
Caught by Teg's words, Idaho ignored tugs of warning at the edge of his awareness. Oh yes, and I found myself in the famous Hall of Mirrors they described and warned us to flee.
So, you remembered how to get out and...
Remembered? You've obviously been there. Did memory get you out?
It helped.
Despite the warnings, I lingered, seeing myself of selves and infinite permutations, reflections of reflections ad infinitum.
Fascination of the ego core. Damn few ever escaped from that depth. You were lucky.
I'm not sure it should be called luck. I knew there must be a first awareness, an awakening,
which discovers it is not the first.
But I wanted a self at the root of the self.
Didn't the people at this meeting notice anything odd about you?
I found out later I sat down with a wooden expression that concealed these mental gymnastics.
You didn't speak.
I was struck dumb. This was interpreted as the basher's expected reticence.
So much for reputation.
Idaho started to smile and remembered the comm eyes. He saw at once how the watchdogs would interpret such revelations. Wild talent in a dangerous descendant of the Atreides. Sisters knew about the mirrors. Anyone who escaped must be suspect.
What did the mirrors show him?
As though he heard the dangerous question, Teg said, I was caught and knew it. I could visualize myself as a bedridden vegetable, but I didn't care. The mirrors were everything until, like something floating up out of water, I saw my mother. She looked more or less the way she had just before she died.
Idaho inhaled a trembling breath.
Didn't Teg know what he had just said for the comm eyes to record? The sisters will now imagine I'm at least a potential Kwisatz Haderach, Teg said. Another Muad'Dib. Bullcrap, as you're so fond of saying, Duncan. Neither of us would risk that. We know what he created and we're not stupid.
Idaho could not swallow. Would they accept Teg's words?
He spoke the truth, but still. She took my hand, Teg said. I could feel it. And she led me right out of the hall. I expected her to be with me when I felt myself seated at the table. My hand still tingled from her touch, but she was gone. I knew that. I just brought myself to attention and took over. The sisterhood had important advantages to gain there, and I gained them.
Something your mother planted in?
No. I saw her the same way reverend mothers see other memory. It was her way of saying, why the hell are you wasting time here when there's work to do? She has never left me, Duncan. The past never leaves any of us.
Idaho abruptly saw the purpose behind Teg's recital. Honesty and candor indeed.
You have other memory? No, except what anyone has in emergencies. The Hall of Mirrors was an emergency, and it also let me see and feel the source of help. But I'm not going back there. Idaho accepted this. Most Mentats risk one dip into infinity and learn the transient nature of names and titles, but Teg's account was much more than a statement about time as flow and tableau. I figured it was time we introduced ourselves fully to the Bene Gesserit, Teg said. They should know how far they can trust us. There's work to do, and we've wasted enough time on stupidities.
Spend energies on those who make you strong. Energy spent on weaklings drags you to doom. H.M. Rule. Bene Gesserit Commentary. Who judges? The Dortuzla Record.
The day of Dortuzla's return did not go well for O'Drade. A weapons conference with Teg and Idaho ended without decision. She had sensed the hunter's axe all during the meeting and knew this coloured her reactions. Then the afternoon session with Mobella. Words, words, words. Babella was tangled in questions of philosophy, a dead end if O'Drade had ever encountered one. Now she stood in the early evening at the westernmost edge of Central's perimeter paving. It was one of her favourite places, but Belonda beside her deprived O'Drade of an anticipated quiet enjoyment. Shiana found them there and asked,
"Is it true you have given Mirbella the freedom of the ship?"
"There!" This was one of Belonda's deepest fears. "Bell," O'Drade cut her off and pointed at the ring orchards. "That little rise over there where we've planted no trees. I want you to order a folly in that place, built to my requirements. A gazebo with lattice framing for the views." No stopping Belonda now. O'Drade had seldom seen her this incensed, and the more Belonda ranted, the more adamant O'Drade became.
"You want a folly in that orchard? What else will you waste our substance on? Folly, a most appropriate label for another of your—"
It was a silly argument. Both of them knew it 20 words into the thing. Mother Superior could not unbend first, and Belle seldom unbent for anything. Even when O'Drade fell silent, Belonda charged onward into empty ramparts. At the end, when Belonda ran out of energy, O'Drade said,
"You owe me a fine dinner, Belle. See that it's the best you can arrange."
"Oh, you—"
Belonda started to splutter.
"A peace offering," O'Drade said. "I want it served in my gazebo. My fancy folly."
When Shiana laughed, Belonda was forced to join, but with an icy edge. She knew when she had been outfaced.
"Everyone will see it and say, 'See how confident Mother Superior is,'" Shiana said.
"So you want it for morale?"
At this point, Belonda would have accepted almost any justification. O'Drade beamed at Shiana.
"My clever little darling."
Not only had Shiana ceased teasing Belonda, she had taken to reinforcing the older woman's self-esteem wherever possible. Belle knew it, of course, and there remained an inevitable Bene Gesserit question. Why? Recognizing the suspicion, Shiana said,
"We're really arguing about Miles and Duncan, and I, for one, am sick of it."
"If I just knew what you were really doing, Da," Belonda said.
"Energy has its own patterns, Belle."
"What do you mean?"
Quite startled.
"They are going to find us, Belle, and I know how."
Belonda actually gaped.
"We are slaves of our habits," O'Drade said. "Slaves of energies we create. Can slaves break free? Belle, you know the problem as well as I do."
For once, Belonda was nonplussed. O'Drade stared at her. Pride, that was what O'Drade saw when she looked at her sisters and their places. Dignity was only a mask, no real humility. Indeed, there was this visible conformity, a true Bene Gesserit pattern that, in a society aware of the peril in patterns, sounded a warning klaxon. Shiana was confused.
"Habits? Your habits always come hunting after you. The self you construct will haunt you, a ghost wandering around in search of your body, eager to possess you. We are addicted to the self we construct, slaves to what we have done. We are addicted to honored matres, and they to us."
"More of your damned romance."